Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and Waupaca, the highest rated hearing health care clinic in Wisconsin. ProfHearingCare.com is their website. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get fishing reports from Lake Michigan and Hayward, and we'll talk about the spring conservation hearings scheduled for next Monday evening. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm is in Michigan presiding over the National Walleye Tour Walleye Tournament on Lake Erie this weekend. We'll get his report on that event next week. From time to time, outdoor gear manufacturers send us products to review, and Jeff and I both receive boots from La Crosse Footwear. Before he left for Michigan, we recorded this review. Well, you know, you and I get the chance to try out new boots as they come on the market, and La Crosse has been one of the companies, and it's nice that they're right here in Wisconsin. And you've had a pair of Upland boots for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I got them originally for elk hunting, Dan. They worked certainly fine for that. And since then, obviously this is not elk country here in Wisconsin, but I have regularly used them for going off into the woods, cutting trees, chore type stuff that I wouldn't want to wear my lightweight EVA foam boots for, something that I maybe need to watch something falling on my foot, you know, splitting wood, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
A little bit more protection, a little bit more grip, certainly on the sole as well. I've used them a lot for turkey hunting over the course of the last few years as well, because they're not a heavy boot, but provide some really good stability when it comes to walking through whatever you need to walk through to get to that gobbling tom. I'm really just impressed with craftsmanship. Each time I lace them up, you know, they feel the same and probably will last for a good number of years yet before I've got to replace them.
Yeah. I've had several pairs of Upland boots from La Crosse, and just this year I got a pair of Burley Aero 17-inch, which is knee-high or almost knee-high, rubber boots. And I'm not a big fan of rubber boots because they're usually pretty heavy, but these are fairly light. They are very comfortable. They grip my ankle. It's a little bit of a push to get your foot in there, but once it's in, it stays in, and they have good arch support. And of course, they're waterproof because they're rubber. They're rated for 30 to 80 degrees, which is turkey weather here in Wisconsin. They're not insulated. I've worn them pheasant hunting once here as the game farm season is winding down, and scouting for turkeys, and I'm planning to wear them during the turkey season. They're the Burley Aeros. You can find them online. Just search La Crosse Boots anywhere online or on Facebook. You'll find them there.
Inland trout season opened last weekend. Did you fish? Well, I didn't. Streams were high here in Vernon County. The Kickapoo was out of its banks from Ontario to Gays Mills. The smaller streams were probably okay, but I just didn't get out. We've been busy with new lambs on the farm, and as of Wednesday when I'm recording this, we've got 4 lambs on the ground so far with no serious complications. We have 4 experienced ewes that have lambed in previous years, and they know the drill. So far, 2 of them have lambed, and their 3 lambs are all nursing just fine, despite the fact that we have not sheared our sheep yet this year, which means their belly wool makes it harder for newborn lambs to find the udder. We've also got 4 2-year-old ewes that have never lambed before, and the first one took a few hours to get with the program. She was walking around and not standing still so her little lamb could nurse. But now she's okay, and her single lamb seems to be nursing well. Lambs have to get colostrum in their first few hours, and then they need to continue nursing to stay healthy and grow. And these 4 are running around and bouncing like happy little lambs, so I'm sure they're okay. Next Monday, April 13th, is the day when the Conservation Congress spring meetings and WDNR spring hearings take place, and that's in every county starting at 7 p.m. You can find a complete list of questions for this year's hearings on the DNR website. The keywords are spring hearings. Among other topics, a move to change the opening day of muskie season back to Memorial Weekend is in the works for northern Wisconsin. As of now, and this is new this year, muskie season opens statewide on the first Saturday in May, along with other inland season openers. And some muskie anglers up north say the early opener will interfere with muskie spawning. If you've got an opinion on that or the other issues that will be brought up at the hearings, show up at your county meeting and vote. You can also vote online. Details online at Spring Hearings on the DNR website. Well, here's some good news from the banking industry, or specifically from one bank in southwest Wisconsin, and that's Conservation First Bank, formerly Benton State Bank, and they have offices in Benton, Shullsburg, and Potosi. Okay, I know it's not U.S. Bank, Chase, or Wells Fargo, but Conservation First Bank is offering something those big guys don't. They will donate a percentage of their annual profits to conservation-related charitable causes, and their impact checking account incurs no monthly service charge, yet it earns you 3% interest on a minimum balance of $25. You can open an account from anywhere, and it sounds like a good deal. We'll have Conservation First Bank President Scott Freiberger on soon to talk more about it. They are a sponsor of my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special. Check them out at conservationfirstbank.com. Well, coming up, we'll kick off our annual Lake Michigan Fishing Reports with Captain Dumperdan Welch of Sheboygan, and radio host John Myrie of Hayward gives us a spring fishing report from Moose Lake in Sawyer County, and we'll ask him what he thinks about the new muskie season opener. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The Lake Michigan fishing season is actually underway, and charter season will be here before you know it, so we are launching our regular bi-weekly reports with Captain Dumperdan Welch, proprietor of Dumperdan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. You can find him on the web at dumperdan.com, and he's got a Facebook page too, and that is updated almost every day, and you'll find our reports there as well.
And there's going to be some new wrinkles to the reports this year. We're not going to spoil it for you yet. You'll just have to check them out on his Facebook page, which is Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And this week, this report is also brought to you by Penn Avenue Pub at 347 Pennsylvania Avenue in Sheboygan and Sly's Midtown Saloon at 508 North 8th Street in Sheboygan. You can find both of those establishments on Facebook as well, Penn Avenue Pub and Sly's Midtown. Well, Dan, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Oh, you betcha, Dan. It is great to be back.
And it's time to talk spring fishing. Have you been out yourself?
Yeah, I have, and a couple of my employees have. That's why I have the Robalo. I like to take that out periodically just to check the waters and the fishing, you know, when the charter boats are either in or pre-season or late season type thing. And, you know, the weather's been a little chilly. Obviously, it's been a little windy, but, you know, it is only early April, and that's why we're starting these reports early, because the fishing's been good when you can get out. And it's been a long winter for all these folks here that follow us on our radio show here, and I enjoyed the winter. I mean, I do a lot of snowmobiling and ice fishing, but I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for summer. I'm guessing everybody else is. And the brown trout right now are biting here off the Port of Sheboygan close to shore. So it's been fun when you can get out there.
All right. Well, when will you launch your fleet of six charter boats?
April 21st, we're scheduled to go in. And then we have trips starting right away on the 24th, 5th, and 6th of April. So that's coming up pretty quick.
Okay. Well, what are you hearing then besides the browns? There are cohos in the southern part of the lake or over on the Michigan side. Any report on that yet?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dan. And I actually talked to Phil the other day, one of my tackle suppliers on the other side of the lake. I buy line from and rods and reels and what have you. And they always start early with the cohos, like in, you know, early March, mid-March. I talk to him a lot, and then they kind of hook around the Chicago area south end of the lake and come up our way. They're doing very well on the cohos right now. And it's kind of early for them even there. I anticipate, you know, Chicago will be seeing them in a few weeks, and then the Waukegan, Winthrop Harbor, and they'll head northbound, you know, into Wisconsin. So I'm hoping they'll be here by middle of May. We don't really see them before that too often, but right now we target brown trout close to shore and then some big lake trout, and periodically hook into a king salmon even this early in the season here off the Port of Sheboygan.
Now, what are those cohos doing as they come up the coast? Are they following water temperature, bait fish, or what?
I think more water temperatures that I've seen. You know, it seems like when it warms up 4, 5, 6 degrees, you know, they keep migrating. They are following bait. I mean, they're a bait chaser. The cohos are more than just about any fish, including the kings. When there's pods of bait moving around and the bait's moving in the warmer water, the cohos follow the bait and the warmer water. So that's what we see quite often. And a lot of times spring weather, if we can get some southerly winds, that really seems to help, especially like in early May, because that'll start pushing that water and them fish northbound towards Sheboygan. So southerly winds is good. Usually in April, we have a lot of north and northwest winds, which we have right now. But if that switches over, I think our coho bite will be right on. There's a good population of them. We caught a lot of them the last 4 years straight here in May and June out of Sheboygan. So looking forward to it.
Is there anything new in the lake or the fishery?
Not really. The stocking went up a little bit again. I mean, we've doubled the king stock here in the last 5, 6 years, and that's, you know, 1.6 to 1.7 million on the king Wisconsin side stocking. Obviously, Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan stock as well. Coho stocking went up. They are stocking more brook trout. That's good news and something new. And that, you know, it's kind of a shoreline fish. Your anglers can cash in on that, obviously, around the break walls and the rock structure. Hopefully that takes off as well, along with these browns, and you know, just have multi-species of trout and salmon to catch here on Lake Michigan. The only thing I saw that was down a little bit last year was the steelhead or the rainbow trout. That being said, I talked to recently in the last week or two a lot of river fishermen, and they said there's a lot of steelhead here in our area of Sheboygan, Pigeon River, Black River, Sheboygan River, up to the Kohler Dam right now. So maybe that'll be a good sign that we'll see some more rainbow trout and steelhead this year, because last few years, they've been down a little bit for us in the charter fishing industry, but then again, too, we've been fishing closer to shore for the kings and the cohos and not venturing out as far for them throughout the summer, so that might have been a difference as well. Who knows?
The last few years, the DNR has put young salmon in net pens in the harbor before they're released. Is that going to happen this year?
That is going to happen, and that actually happens just down from my place on Sulpier Drive between my place and the fish cleaning station, and they have that marked off with signage. You can see the pens there. They feed them there. People come down with their kids and families just to check it out. It's pretty neat. But we'll have our two net pens in Sheboygan here in the next week. The last couple of years, we had to release them early because the river water temperature got too warm too quick, which isn't a big deal, but we like to hold them for a few weeks. So hopefully this year with the colder winter, we can hold them. They'll get a little more mature, a little bigger, and then release them out of the Sheboygan River system in the Lake Michigan. And a lot of different ports are doing that as well. So the DNR will be busy transporting these fish to different ports and different net pens here in the next week.
All right. Are you booking for spring and summer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people are calling now, and the phone's been ringing and, you know, trying to get their vacation plans made and fishing trips in. So definitely give me a call, 920-377-1147. You'll talk to me direct, Umper Dan. I'll get you booked up. What I do, too, is a lot of times we fill up, and when we do, I don't turn you down. I bring you in, and I book other boats. So we have multiple boats here. I can at least get you on the water if the Dumper Dan boats are filled. Definitely give me a call and I'll get you out and get you booked with us, through us, or on one of my boats. So again, 920-377-1147.
All right. And second sponsor, actually, we've got two sponsors this week. Penn Avenue Pub on Pennsylvania Avenue. What can you tell us about that outfit?
It's a great place, great location, Penn Avenue Pub. It's been there for a long time, very nice, clean bar, but new owners. And I met them here recently. They have an awesome menu. Jim and Brian are doing a great job. They got some unique food. They're real particular in how they cook it and what they do with their food, with seasoning and this and that. Their Philly cheesesteak is like the best on the menu and the best in town. So that Philly cheesesteak is definitely something you want to order sometime if you're in Sheboygan at Penn Avenue Pub. But they got a full menu of items there, and just a great little bar and grill centrally located here in Sheboygan on Penn Avenue.
All right. And Sly's Midtown, a familiar place to our listeners?
Yes, that too. David and Janet Sly owned for many decades. I'm good friends with them, but Zeke and Cheyenne took over. Dave and Janet are still around, but Zeke and Cheyenne own Sly's now, and they're basically about a block away from Penn Avenue Pub, another great location on 8th Street. What they're really known for, I mean, they got a great menu for lunch and supper, but their breakfast is awesome. We go there quite often, especially in the winter when we're not charter fishing, but they open at 7 a.m. They got an awesome breakfast, good lunch menu, and supper as well. But check out the breakfast. It's kind of unique because it's a big menu of what they do for breakfast starting at 7 a.m. at Sly's.
And I see they've got weekly specials, and it says new weekly specials, so check that out. And also karaoke on Friday evening at 7 every Friday. Do you do that, Dan?
No, I don't. Maybe you and I should someday, huh?
Oh, my goodness. No. Yeah. Yeah.
You scare everybody away.
Dan and Dan instead of Jan and Dean, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, we could sing a Sheboygan Surfing. Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on to the North Pier with me, blah, 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 yeah.
we should try it.
I don't know about that. All right, well, we're going to let you go, and we will send folks to your website and to Facebook where they can find out all about Sly's and Penn Avenue Pub and, of course, your fishing report, which we post every time we record one. And Ozzy is going to be working on that, and as I said, there will be a few new wrinkles, so we'll let people discover those as they happen. So thanks so much, and we will be talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds very good. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Folks, that was Captain Dan Welch, Dumper Dan himself, proprietor of Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store, located on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. You can find him online at DumperDan.com and on Facebook at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And don't forget Penn Avenue Pub at 347 Pennsylvania Avenue and Sly's Midtown Saloon at 508 North 8th Street. You can find them both on Facebook as well. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is a friend in the Hayward area. He's a pretty well-known writer and broadcaster up there. John Myrie is his name. He's the host of Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, which airs on WRLS Radio in Hayward on Saturday morning and Monday evening. And that show is also available as a podcast on multiple channels. And you can find links to everything he does on the web at WISCNorthlandOutdoors.com. That's WISCNorthlandOutdoors.com. And you can also find him on WNORadio.com. Well, John, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
It's a pleasure being on. You know, it's great being on here, Dan.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and you and I have a chance to visit now and then. And I actually fished Moose Lake with my son John once last summer, and we didn't catch any muskies, but we saw you and your clients catch, I think, one or two that day. And I didn't mention that you are a fishing guide as well. You've been guiding for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's over 45 years, a long time, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about a fishing report? Now, you're on Moose Lake, or right near Moose Lake. Ice fishing is over for the year. How was it this winter?
We had good ice on just about every lake up here, and the reports I got back for what I do on the radio and stuff was pretty good ice fishing. Pan fishing was pretty good. We seem to have a downturn a little bit on the walleye fishing for a while, but then we had some streaks where that was good. And northern pike, that's not a problem anywhere. We've got northerns in every lake up here now, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's been an issue, I say an issue, especially for muskie fishermen, because there are lakes that were primarily muskie lakes that over the past several decades suddenly have become stronger for northern pike, and there's some competition between those two predators.
Yeah, and it seems that the clear water lakes are the ones that get hit the hardest with the pike. The dark water lakes, I think the muskies still have a little bit of an upper hand, and sometimes we have grown bigger muskies because they're eating the pike.
Yeah. Well, tell me how that works in a dark water lake.
Well, you know, I think you got two similar fish, but the pike tend to be, you know, more of a sight feeder. They just don't seem to feed at night or by sound much. And muskies have developed a very good sense of feeding by sight and sound. And when you put a dark water situation like that, the pike has to stay higher in the water column, and the muskie can slip underneath, and you can kind of guess who eats who at that point.
Yeah, okay. So for muskies, there's a lot of pike dinners.
Oh, yeah. You know, they make actually great bait, too, in the fall. If you catch about a 16-inch pike, you better than a sucker.
No kidding. Now, that's legal if you use it on the lake that you caught it on, right?
Yep, and then you got to include it in your daily bag limit of pike.
Okay, and it has to be on a lake where there isn't a size limit, because you can't keep a 16-incher on some lakes.
Yeah, you know, and there's lakes up here now. We have lakes that they've upped a limit to 10 pike with no size limit. And then we've got the new regulation on Nelson Lake this year. It was, I think it was like you couldn't keep them less than 32 inches, and they wound up with a ton of small pike. And they changed the regulation this year to where now you can't keep them between 25 and 35 inches, I believe. You can keep one over that, but, and they want you to harvest some of them 23, 24 inch pike, which, you know, people have miss the boat on that a lot because they're excellent table fare.
Well, they are, and to be honest, I don't like to fillet them, although I know how to do it, but I prefer them over walleye, and I know other people say the same thing.
Oh, I've heard that lots of times, you know, and the biggest thing I think puts people off is the fact they're slimy and then they got eye bones in them, but that's easy to get around if you learn how to do it.
Yep, and it does make good table fare, absolutely. Well, the ice fishing season is history now, and the regular game fish season opens the first Saturday in May, so we've got a few weeks of pan fishing. What does it look like for pan fish now?
Well, there are some lakes that are starting to open up right now. I was driving down the other day past Birchwood, and there was one lake I seen was open down there, and now Lake Hayward went out. So I think a lot of the lakes are going to start opening up over the next couple of weeks, the smaller lakes especially. The big lakes, maybe not quite so, because they didn't freeze up until late, and they've developed a lot more solid ice on them, where the smaller lakes have that snow on top, and they got that real porous ice. and that tends to go away quicker. But pan fishing should be good right away. The other thing you don't want to miss out on is the bass season, because you got catch and release bass fishing right now, and some of the lakes that open up, largemouth, smallmouth, but also the rivers. I mean, the rivers are tremendous smallmouth fisheries up here.
Absolutely. And in some of the rivers, you can catch walleyes right now, too.
Well, yeah, you've got to be down farther south. I mean, up here, it's still closed on the rivers up here in like in Sawyer County area and stuff. But I think you get, if I'm not mistaken, you get the other side of Eau Claire going down. It might be open there. But, you know, up north, the only place open for walleyes would be, you know, up on Lake Superior, Swamigan Bay, if that opens up.
Yeah, okay. Well, as always, check the regs, because the regs are somewhat complicated, because there are different size and bag limits on all fish on certain lake, so it's always wise to check before you keep fish, or maybe even before you fish, so you know what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah. And there's some new ones out there for this year. They change some stuff around. And, they, you know, they always have them regulations. I mean, sometimes they get to be a little bit of a pain because things change, but we need them to maintain the fisheries, I think.
Yeah. And we'll get to one of those regs in just a couple minutes here. But where would you look for panfish this time of year, assuming the ice is out and you've got an open lake to fish?
Well, right after the ice goes out, you're going to find them mostly relating to that basin yet, that deep water they were in. But if you start getting that water temperature starts to climb a little bit, you know, they'll start moving toward those areas, those bays and places where you expect to find them spawning. And it's kind of interesting what they do is if you can find them out there in 10, 12, 15 feet of water outside of the spawning areas, you can't watch them early in the day. They'll be down toward the bottom pretty tight. But then, yeah, as that water warms up, you'll see them literally rise vertically in that water column some. And at some point, you know, when temperature is coming up, you'll see them move right up into the shallows. And there'll be a movement of panfish up in those shallows way before they get to the spawning time.
Uh-huh. Okay. And looking ahead to the walleye opener or the general season opener, what do you recommend for early season walleyes up your way?
Well, the old jig and minnow trick is probably going to be the number one standby for guys, but don't overlook going out in the evenings and sometimes even after dark if it's not terribly cold and throwing crankbaits, because I've caught a lot of nice walleyes in the evenings and even right into dark a little bit around some of those weedy bays and stuff. They're active out there, and sometimes the bigger fish.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's get to the elephant in the room here. Elephants in a lot of ways. Muskies. You mentioned there are some rule changes this year, and a big one is the fact that the muskie season will open with the regular game fish fishing season on the first Saturday in May, and I understand there's not a lot of support for that up north.
Yeah, you know, the muskie fraternity has grown tremendously. We've got way more muskie fishermen out there now than we've ever had. They didn't quite catch that. It went through the Conservation Congress a few years ago, and it was voted in to move that season. But, you know, I think when you look at that vote, a lot of them probably wasn't from the muskie community. And, you know, now all of a sudden it got changed, and they want to see it change back, and they want to see it change back pretty quick. From what I've been told, there will be a resolution at each one of the northern counties to move that back to that Memorial Day weekend opening again, because the problem is we've seen a downturn of muskie. The number of fish stocking, it seems to be down. I don't know if the money's there or what, but you know, we've seen a downturn on muskies on a lot of waters, even in Minnesota. Some of the lakes get hit pretty hard, and you know, maybe you have some catch and release mortality. I don't know exactly what goes on there, but seems like there's less fish, and the ones that are out there are definitely harder to catch, much harder than they were years ago.
Uh-huh.
It comes down to where a lot of these guys, and I actually think the same way too, is that do we really need to put an additional 4 weeks of pressure on a fish that we have a very limited resource? I mean, it's not like a panfish where you got them everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and this resolution will be at the Conservation Congress hearings, which are held in every county next Monday night. I think it starts at 7, and people can find the location of the hearing in each area. Where is it in Sawyer County?
It'll be in the Hayward School, I believe it is what's listed on their website. And I think the resolution will be presented in the counties that are affected. It used to be the northern zone, so it'd be in the northern part of the state is where they're organizing to put the petitions in.
All right. Well, John, we've got to take a break here, but I got a few more questions I want to ask you. Will you stay with us?
You bet.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with John Myrie. He's the host of Wisconsin Northland Outdoors on WRLS Radio in Hayward. And his show is also available as a podcast at WiskNorthlandOutdoors.com or WNORadio.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to ProHearingCare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Folks, I'm talking with John Myrie. He's the host of Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, which airs on WRLS Radio in Hayward. It's on Saturday morning and also on Monday evening. And that same show is available as a podcast on a bunch of channels. And you can find links to those channels and find the show itself at WiskNorthlandOutdoors.com or WNORadio.com. And he joins us from Moose Lake in Sawyer County. Well, John, we were talking about musky fishing and that resolution that will be available at all of the Conservation Congress hearings in the North coming up on Monday. What do you think the odds are that that's going to pass?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, the muskie community is a general whole from what I see up in social media and talking to some of my friends that are pretty heavily involved with it. They definitely want to see it not open on the first Saturday in May. So it'll be, it depends how well they can organize and get enough people at those meetings.
Okay. Well, you've been musky fishing a long time, and when we weren't recording, you said you actually started musky fishing in Minnesota.
My old Boy Scout lead when I was down in southern Minnesota was actually running a camp called North Star Camp on Leech Lake up in the north end of Portage Bay, and I started musky fishing up there, and that was where most of the musky fishing was at that time on, you know, the weed beds and the weeds along Portage Bay, and that's how I kind of got into that musky thing. And at one point, you know, I actually had a small marine dealership and stuff, and I actually worked as an outboard technician and a lot of different things when it comes to power sports. But I just said, you know what, I'm going to go up north in northern Wisconsin. They grow bigger muskies, so I'm going to go up there and be a fishing guide. And I just did. You know, that was it.
You just packed up and said, I'm going north.
You bet. You know, we had a little 8x32-foot travel trailer, and I had a used fishing boat, and I had an old 64 Chevy pickup with a refugee from the salvage yard, and we moved up here, bought a lake lot, and built a log cabin, and lived up here in the Northwoods, and built a business on it.
And you've been there ever since?
Yep. I've been on Moose Lake. I actually lived on the other side of Moose Lake by the campgrounds in the middle of the National Forest, I guess, and at one point, I wound up getting a chance to buy an estate on a little two-cabin resort. I added another cabin and ran that for 10, 12 years and condoed it out and moved across the road, and the whole time I'm guiding. So we just kind of keep getting involved with that Northwoods lifestyle.
Uh-huh. And of course, that lifestyle and your experience are reflected in your radio show and your podcast. You know, I got to ask you, you moved to northern Wisconsin because we had bigger muskies, and I think Minnesota's got bigger muskies now. Isn't that the case?
It's exactly the case. I mean, it was like you had a few core lakes in Minnesota around that Leech Lake area that had fish, and then you had one lake up by the Boundary Waters, had them little brown shoepack fish, which never got very big. And the pressure on those lakes, you weren't seeing a lot of fish that were over 40-some inches. And, you know, up in northern Wisconsin, the guys were getting them 30, 35, and even 40-pound fish. I said, you know, that's where I want to go. But over the years, it kind of reversed, went the other way.
Yeah, and it has, I think, in part because of that Leech Lake strain that they've been developing. And I don't follow it closely, but aren't they stocking those fish in the Minnesota lakes now and here in Wisconsin, too?
A few places in Wisconsin, they did. There is a couple of lakes up north that got them. There's a lake up by Minot, Nancy Lake, that they actually put them in. And from my knowledge on it, they closed the musky fishing for like 10 years. And then they opened it up with a 40-inch minimum. And there was something like 15 or 16 fish that were over 50 inches, all the way up to 55 or 56 that would come out of there in a short period of time. And there's still a few big fish up there, but they don't stock them there anymore. I guess they didn't figure it was feasible for some reason.
Okay. Well, there have been a lot of changes in fishing over the years that you and I have been fishing northern Wisconsin or anywhere in the country, actually. But sticking with muskies, what do you think some of the biggest changes are?
Just way more fishermen out there now. I mean, you walked in a bait shop 35, 40 years ago, and it was a relatively small selection of lures, and now you walk in places like Hayward Bait, they got 80, 90 foot of wall space covered with musky lures, and you don't have that many musky lures unless you got fishermen to buy them. And we got more people out there musky fishing than we've ever had. And the trade-off to that is you're fishing for a very low-density population fish to start with, even at the best-case scenario.
Yeah, and, you know, when you say low-density, we're talking one or two fish per acre. That's considered good.
Yeah, and we've seen lakes get hot and get, I call it, dog-piled on with a bunch of guys get on it. And all of a sudden, the fishing gets extremely tough out there, and it seems that the population goes down on some of those lakes. And maybe it's some post-release mortality. I don't know quite exactly what happens, but the one thing for sure is, and most any pro musky angler or guide will tell you this, is that these fish are getting harder to catch. I mean, they're just getting so conditioned from the pressure and boat traffic. Back in the 80s and early 90s, I had to deal with it on some lakes that were big clearwater lakes by going to night fishing, and we caught a pile of really big fish all the way up to, you know, high 30-pounders by night fishing for them.
Yeah, okay. You don't do that anymore?
No, it's getting worse. I mean, I got to wear bifocals and everything, and they don't have my hands near that musky where I got a headlamp trying to unhook them.
Yeah. George Langley told me years ago a story that I tell once in a while, and I'll try to make it brief here, but he was fishing with a friend at night and the guy's wife, and the friend hooked a big muskie, and they were doing the usual fire drill around the boat to get the fish in, and they got the fish in the net, and they turned around and looked and said, "Where's Tammy?" Well, one of them had bumped Tammy, the wife, and she went overboard, and she's hanging on the gunwales. She was fine. They got her back in the boat after they released the fish, but it can be kind of crazy fishing at night.
Oh, yeah. It comes down to you have to be really well organized and know where you're fishing and don't try to fish a million spots and stuff. And, you know, I'll still night fish if I've got an experienced musky fisherman that wants to go out and he will handle the fish in the net and stuff. I've never actually stuck a hook in really bad that I couldn't get it out, and I just prefer not to get to that position. I've seen some guys get hooked pretty bad from, you know, them big hooks.
Yep, I had one in a hand, and I will spare you that story. years ago, and it wasn't my fault, but it was sort of. But anyway, so you still run a guide service, and tell us what you like to do best and what kind of clients you get up there.
Well, my two favorite fish would be actually muskies and smallmouth bass. We got some tremendous smallmouth fishery up here, too. Another podcast I do with Northland Bassin, which covers just bass fishing. But, you know, those are the two species of favorites. But over the years, it's hard as you get older to try to compete with the musky guys. And it takes some effort out there musky fishing. So I've kind of got into where I'm doing a lot of family fishing trips and taking my dad and a couple kids out, and we're going after walleye, crappies, bluegills, and a few northerns, just catching fish. And that's part of fishing fun, is just going out and catching and getting that rod bent constantly.
Yep, absolutely. And folks can find your guide service on the same websites, right?
You bet. I'm on that same website, and if you just search for John Myrie Fishing Guide on Google, you're gonna find me real quick. I've been on the internet, I think, since they invented it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't invent it, though, right?
No, I didn't invent it, but I've been on it all the time for a lot of years.
Yeah, gotcha. Me too. Well, John, spell your name for folks who don't know.
It's a Norwegian name. It's Myhre.
All right, Myhre, and of course, the guide service and the radio show and the podcast and the Bassin podcast, Northland Bassin, those are all available on his website, which is whisknorthlandoutdoors.com. And you can also find him at wnoradio.com. Well, John, great talking with you. Are you going to be at the Governor's Fishing Opener coming up in May?
Actually, I'm on the committee from the Hayward Lakes Resort Association. I don't know if I'll be guiding anybody or fishing, but I'm on that committee, and, I'm always involved with that fishing. It's a lifestyle thing that you get in once you get into it. For a lot of guys, it's not something you make a ton of money at, but it's a lifestyle is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the opener is on Nelson Lake this year. I have not fished Nelson in probably 40 years, but I used to fish it regularly with a friend from Hayward, and you might have known him, Charlie France. Did you know Charlie?
I did not know him, but I know who he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nelson was tremendous fishery for walleyes at one time. Not so much anymore on the walleyes, but it's a great northern pike, bass, panfish, lake. It's all around lake. It's a fun lake to fish.
Yeah, and that's where the Governor's Opener is this year. So, well, I will see you at least at the dinner on Friday night. That's my turkey week up north as well.
A lot of turkeys up here, Dan.
They're everywhere. I know. We see more turkeys up there than we do down here in Vernon County.
I'll leave you with an interesting thing. You have a guy that was the head biologist for the National Wild Turkey Federation back in my early days of radio. One time sat on the radio, I asked him if we'd ever have turkeys up in northern Wisconsin when they were coming into southern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
His response was, nope, you'll never have them up there because that's the wrong type of habitat.
Well, he was wrong.
Yep, you bet.
Absolutely. Well, John, I look forward to seeing you, and thanks so much for joining us again.
Well, thank you, Dan.
You're quite welcome. Folks, that's John Myrie, Myhre is how you spell his name. Wisconsin Northland Outdoors Radio is his show. WISC NorthlandOutdoors.com is his website, and you can find information on everything we talked about right there. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, and on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. Cedar Lake Sales' launch into summer events started on April 8th,
and it runs through the 11th. That's today for most listeners. There's seminars at 10:30 and 12:30, specials, a brat fry from 11 to 2, and much more. And their big marine rummage sale is set for next Saturday, April 18th. Get details and register for today's seminars online at cedarlakesales.com. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Waupaca, profhearingcare.com. If our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special is archived on YouTube at Deer Hunt Wisconsin. And if you missed anything we mentioned on this week's show, you can always listen online at lake-link.com/radio. You can also subscribe to our podcast there or download episodes going back about a year. And our show is also available as a podcast on many other platforms, including outdoornews.com/podcasts. On social media, find us at Hardwater Jeff and Dan Small Outdoors. The application period for the 2026 elk season runs through May 31st, and the season will open on October 17th and run continuously through December 13th. You can apply for a tag in either the northern or central zone, and you can apply for a bull or a cow tag. Find details on Go Wild or the DNR website under elk hunting. The Milwaukee County Parks will hold their annual youth fishing clinics in 7 parks next Saturday, April 18th. The clinics are free and open to youth 15 and under and to people with certain disabilities. The clinics will begin on the hour, hourly from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they'll be held rain or shine. And all kids must be accompanied by an adult. Don't just drop your kids off there for the day. Bring your own fishing gear if you have it, and if you don't, there will be some gear available for loan. For more information, visit the DNR website. The keywords are Youth Fishing Clinics. And here's a news release I got last Friday afternoon after last week's show was already in the can. The DNR wants your input on the upcoming 2026 deer season framework, and they want it by this Sunday, April 12th. You really gotta wonder if they really want your input, because this news release came out on Good Friday afternoon when many businesses are already closed for the Easter holiday and spring break is underway, not to mention March Madness, and people are already on the road for the holiday weekend. At any rate, they want public feedback on Wisconsin's deer management, and that includes harvest quotas, season structure, and much more. You can attend a Citizen Deer Advisory Council meeting later this month in your county, or you can submit comments online. I'm doing it online. The comment period opened last Saturday, and it runs through this Sunday. Again, not a lot of time, and poor timing if you ask me, but to share your thoughts online or to find the meeting location in your county, visit the DNR website. The keywords are Deer Advisory Councils. Well, this is Youth Turkey Hunting Weekend here in Wisconsin. If you're out in the woods, especially anywhere on public land, it's a good idea to wear blaze orange and be aware that there might be a youngster and a mentor hunting somewhere near you. Don't mess up their hunt. Your time will come soon if you've got a permit for the regular season. The DNR reminds us that the annual Ojibwe spearing season will begin soon in the ceded territory, and that's about the northern third of Wisconsin. This is a federally protected right. Any interference with tribal members engaged in this traditional practice is illegal, and it won't be tolerated. Most northern Wisconsin residents understand this, but it's still worth reminding people that it'll be happening soon. It's a protected right of tribal people, and any disturbance or interference is illegal. I'm sure that tribal and DNR wardens will be patrolling northern Wisconsin lakes this month. And if you happen to witness or are subject to any interference, call 911. If the threat has passed and you still have information, call the DNR hotline, and that's 800-TIP-WDNR. Lost in the Woods Improv's next gig is coming up April 24th at the Backstage in Bayfield. Their special guest for the long form Armando is Hannah Stonehouse Hudson. Details on Facebook at Lost in the Woods Improv. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and Friends' next gig is this Saturday. Again, that's today for most listeners, April 11th. It's at the Harbor Table in Washburn. As always, come for the show. It starts at 4, and why not stay for the prime rib? The theme is Spring is on the Wing. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm should be back next week with a report on that walleye tournament. Meanwhile, get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.